42. Knowledge of Reckoning. Knowledge of scriptural truth should precede spiritual growth. For example, in the early chapters of Paul's epistles, doctrinal truth is presented, while in the latter chapters, they deal with the practical results of the truth set forth in the earlier chapters. We must first know what the triune God has done before we can count on him to do. We read in Ephesians 1:17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And Philippians 2:13 says this, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." There is a crippling tendency among believers today to depreciate head knowledge of the truth, and even doctrine itself. Emphasis is being put on so-called heart knowledge, which is gained by means of experience. This, however, is to place condition before position, which is the opposite of God's scriptural pattern. Truth reckoned on fosters the only healthy and abiding spiritual experience. For faith to function, there must be spirit-given knowledge of the word. The spirit of truth ministers truth to us by means of our mind, the spiritual mind that relies on him. This head knowledge gives us the facts on which we exercise faith or reckon. In time, through deeper understanding and a quiet assimilation of the truth, there is both head knowledge and heart knowledge. We not only believe, but now we know experientially. Paul had believed on the Lord Jesus for many years before he wrote the words in Philippians 3 verse 10, which say, "that I may know him." And likewise, he urges us to meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. 1 Timothy 4:15. And in Proverbs 23:7 we read the following, "For as a man thinks within himself, so he is." Some people belittle head knowledge because they see many Christians who seem to know so much scripture and yet whose lives fail to adorn the doctrine, Titus 2:10. Doubtless there is some justification for this reaction, but it should be realised that one's knowledge of truth is always in advance of his growth in that same truth. Many believers know truth in which it will take them a lifetime, even eternity, to grow. Further, there are those on hand who know about truth, having grasped and even memorized scripture by means of the natural mind. Such knowledge will never become living experience, though. In the final analysis, we are not to decide about spiritual matters by observation of other believers. It is the Holy Spirit who must teach us by means of the word, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Paul states that there are those who have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. In Romans 10 verse 2. Ideally, head knowledge precedes heart knowledge. However, neither one is preeminent above the other. Both are essential for healthy growth and effective ministry. Heart knowledge alone cannot progress beyond the fluctuating feelings and emotions of babyhood. It can exhort, emotionalize, and share experiences and blessings, but it cannot lead others to establishment in the truth. To share effectively, we must be brought to maturity by both head and heart knowledge. We are to reckon and to stand on certain truths for our foundation, And linked with these are other truths on which we are to reckon and rest for growth. So first we're going to look at foundation and then growth. Foundation. There can be no growth unto maturity without an established foundation. By knowledge of the word, we are anchored and rooted in the eternal foundation of our Christian life. First, we are born anew in Christ. In 1 Peter 1:23, we read the following. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for ever. Second, we are accepted in Christ. Our Father is able to accept us fully in his Son. In Ephesians 1 verse 6 we read the following. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Third, we are eternally secured in Christ. In Colossians 3 verse 3 we read, your life is hid with Christ in God. And fourth, we are positioned in Christ. We read in Ephesians 2 verse 4 that God hath quickened us, or God hath enlifted us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It is futile to seek to grow by means of these truths, because they are foundational truths. But it is imperative that we grow on this imperishable foundation. And so we now look at growth. Once we receive the head knowledge and heart knowledge by which we are established on our foundation in Christ, the question of growth in him is all but settled. The deeper truth, the spiritual master key to all growth and maturity, is the fact that we are not only founded in him, but we are complete in him. For in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. Colossians 2 verses 9 and 10. As the Holy Spirit gives us the knowledge of our position in Christ, we are prepared to know him as our life. Colossians 3 verse 4. To reckon himself alive unto God in Christ, the branch must know the true vine as his complete source of life. 1 Corinthians 1:30 we read the following. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. To reckon on the truth is to rest in the truth and to receive the fruit of the truth. Can we now see where the failure began in our Christian walk? We had the knowledge of the justification truths for our new birth. And on this milk of the gospel we sought to grow and serve. But there was defeat, because the foundation truths are for the beginning only. Further knowledge was our need. We had simply gone beyond our teaching. We knew our Lord Jesus as the foundation, but not as our life. The same problem exists in many of our early attempts to reckon on the identification truths. We seek to reckon ourselves dead to sin without being established in the knowledge of the cross. The failure is further compounded by our seeking to reckon ourselves alive to God in Christ without first being established in the knowledge of him as our risen life. We must be established in the knowledge of our foundation and source if we are to become established in our reckoning and growth. And so finally we're going to look at something called the three pillars of knowledge. There are three pillars of knowledge having to do with position on which the Christian life is to be secured and matured. This is the first pillar. The knowledge of our birth, acceptance, and security in the Lord Jesus. That's the first pillar. The second pillar. The knowledge of his cross as our cross is the central pillar. The cross of Calvary is not only the central fact of the universe, but it is also the central fact of the life of the believer. As we see our identification with Christ in his death to sin, we know his cross to be our cross. We know self to have been crucified there. We know ourselves to have been cut off from Adam and freed from the power of sin. Only from this pillar of knowledge can we reckon ourselves dead to sin in our daily walk. And finally, the third pillar. The knowledge that we are alive and complete in our risen Lord places us securely on this third pillar. Now our reckoning can be fully established as we count ourselves to be alive to God in Christ. Now his life can be manifested in us by the growing fruit of the Spirit. This is the practical fulfillment of the very purpose of God for us, that we be conformed to the image of his Son.